Welcome to episode 17 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about why lend and borrow are tricky, some common mistakes that you should avoid, why the subject of your sentence is key, a story about my Spanish nephew who borrowed my bike, and some interesting listener feedback. This podcast is aimed at helping you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So, without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, today we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject, which is all to do with the difference between lend and borrow. And this can be a very, very confusing for Spanish speakers, but also for all different types of learners of English, because it's just, it can cause quite a lot of uncertainty, especially because in Spanish, of course, you have the verb prestar, and in English, we have these two alternatives, which are lend and borrow. So as usual, I have Alistair here with me to talk about this issue. Hi, Alistair.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Great. Yeah, so lend and borrow. And I think what we wanted to start with is kind of give our listeners a kind of idea about how this could be actually used in practice, right? And we kind of came up with the idea that you would apply for a loan, right? For a loan. And a loan is often connected to something like a car or something more slightly more expensive, right? And you would apply for that. Mm-hmm. And then the company that provides these types of services would lend you the money, right? They would lend that money to you. And so that's one way of using the verb to lend, right?
Yeah, so lending is giving, no? So the entity, a bank, for example, that lends you money is the entity that gives you the money. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you would ask, as you say, apply or ask for a loan or prestamo, maybe to buy a new car from a bank or some other entity, financial entity, and they lend you the money. So they give the money to you to buy your car. And that's the same in Spanish, the concept of prestar, no?
Yes.
But then we have this other concept, which is borrow, which can cause some confusion. So who borrows? Well, the question is who lends and who borrows?
That's exactly right. And so this is exactly where the confusion comes in. And certainly we will talk about differences a little bit later on to kind of make that clear, because it does have something that is very connected to the subject of the particular sentence, right? As to which one you might use. Because in English, you can almost say the same sentence, but use lend or borrow. Okay. So it's kind of, but then the subject changes, right? So it's a bit confusing.
Yeah, it can be, because in Spanish there's only one verb, prestar, who gives the money, for example, and who receives it. You use the same verb, but you have to add another verb. So you'd say, you know, that when the bank lends money to you is el banco te presta dinero. But if you, from your perspective in Spanish, you have to say, I think they would say pedir prestado, which is to ask the money from the bank, or ask for the money from the bank, or tomar prestado. So you take the loan, no, the money from the bank. So you have to add another verb to prestar, no, tomar prestado or pedir prestado. But they don't have a specific, an alternative verb, which is to describe the action of receiving the money from the bank. And in English we do, which is borrow, to borrow.
Yeah. Exactly. And we were kind of talking about different contexts. Of course, this can be related to a loan, but it also can be a mortgage, hipoteca, right, from a bank. So you can have the same sort of issues. These two verbs are very much connected to these types of situations, right, where you're asking money from a bank, but also, for example, when you go to a library, or you might want to borrow a book from a library, right?
Yeah.
I would like to borrow a book from a library.
For example. So the library lends you a book or books.
That's right.
and you borrow a book from the library. So in English, we have these two verbs for the giver and the receiver.
That's right.
So exactly. You receive the book from the library, so you borrow the book from the library, and the library, which gives, lends you the book.
Exactly.
Now, here we also have an interesting, like a false friend, you know? Library, which sounds like but it isn't. So the library is in Spanish, biblioteca, and a librería is, how would you say that, Daniel?
A bookshop.
A bookshop. Okay. Very easy. Tienda de libros, no?
Yes.
Very descriptive.
So like a common sentence that we might hear from our clients is something like, I bought a book from a library. Okay. Yeah. So as soon as we hear that,
books from libraries.
Yeah. Not really possible, right? Sometimes. It's not really possible.
They may sell some of the old books that they don't
want
anymore.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
But usually you borrow books from a library, you don't buy them.
That's right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you might buy a book from a bookshop, yes, mm-hmm. and most of the time you would borrow a book from a library.
Okay? Exactly.
So yeah, there's kind of an important distinction there. It's kind of a false friend, and it's kind of really important to know that, because, you know, otherwise it can get a little bit confusing, and those types of sentences can suddenly come up, right? I bought a book from a library. Well, it kind of like suddenly a native speaker would be like very confused by that sentence.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. To go back to the word mortgage, is quite a strange word. The spelling, I mean, the way you pronounce it and the way it's spelled, well, which often happens in English, is so different. So clients or students have a lot of problem. So it's mortgage. So it's got mortgage, if you want to, phonetically.
Yes. That's right.
But it's pronounced mortgage, which doesn't bear any resemblance really to the word you see written. To get sometimes a difficult pronunciation problem, to say mortgage.
Yes. But that's an interesting one, and we haven't actually discussed this before, but I'll
just occurred to me now.
Yeah, no, but it's a good one, and there is actually a little story related to that, because mort is mort, which is in French is death. So actually, it's a loan until the death. You see,
That's where it comes from. Huh?
Yeah,
which when so you it's kind of house kind of really interesting. In Madrid, for example, is almost literally true. Aim for it the rest of your life.
Yeah, so that might be a way to remember how to spell it, because it actually comes from the French.
I do know, well, you lived in Belgium. There's a very famous bar in Brussels that sells a beer. Well, the name of the bar and the name of the beer brewed by that bar, Mort Subit.
Yes,
which is sudden death. Sudden death. So
that's
you drink sudden death in the sudden death bar. Right. So I know Mort, it means death from the name of that beer.
Yes, absolutely. There you go. So there you go.
The mortgage. I don't know what the gedge bit, the G-A-G-E is.
Yes.
But one way to remember it. No, it's a loan for life to buy your house, which is, it's usually 25, 30 years, a typical mortgage, then it's almost true.
That's right. Absolutely. So, I mean, that's a really good example of just how difficult English spelling is. I mean, it is quite very, very difficult.
I mean, native speakers, even university educated English teachers, can also have problems with spelling.
Absolutely.
Because it just makes no sense. So really, you have to memorize. So, a mortgage, you just have to know how it's written, because the pronunciation doesn't help you at all to know how to write it. And that happens so often in English.
Yeah, and that's why for me in particular, I don't know whether this was the case for you as well, but when I kind of started learning Spanish, it was kind of quite refreshing to be able to kind of know a word or listen to a word and be able to write it almost immediately.
There are some exceptions, but
yes,
more
of course.
Or less the first thing I did when I learned Spanish from this book was, it just said, learn the alphabet, learn how to pronounce each letter of the alphabet. That's your beginning point. So A, B, C, D. And it's fantastic. Then when you read a word, you know how to say it, because all you know how to pronounce each letter.
Yeah,
all the letters except H, H at the beginning are pronounced. So it's after English, it's so refreshing. You say, oh, wow, what a great language. Somebody tells me a word, and from the sound, I can usually, not always, for example, it might have H or not, or B, U, B, no, B and V can be confused. Because in Spanish, they pronounce them the same, B, B.
Yeah.
But apart from four or five possible mistakes, if somebody says a word, you can write it. And more importantly, when you see a word written you don't know, you know exactly how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And English is completely the opposite.
It is.
You have no idea.
Yeah. So for our listeners, if you get frustrated with the spelling, don't get too frustrated, because it is also something that is very difficult for native speakers. Obviously, these days with the word processing and everything going on.
For the auto, whatever it's called, auto correction and the spell checker.
Spell checker.
Yeah, because English native speakers often have terrible spelling.
That's right.
Well, you just have mental block on certain words, as it's a case of memory. There's always a word or some words that for some reason you just never remember how to spell.
Yeah.
Especially when you have lots of double letters, no? That's sort of necessary. You're like, is it two C's, two S's, one C, two S's, two S's, one C? And then you look at it in the dictionary and you go, oh, of course. And then 5 minutes later, someone, how do you spell necessary? And you're like, oh, what was it? Is it two C? And you just you have the whole of your life. You can never remember that word.
Absolutely.
So I think everyone, however good they are at spelling, will have at least one or two words they have a problem with.
Yeah. So that's, there you go. A little story about mortgage and English spelling. But if we get back to sort of lend and borrow, we kind of came up with a sentence that kind of maybe will explain the situation a little bit better. And I've kind of like can also demonstrate that you can actually say the same thing, but sometimes just changing the subject as well. Okay, so the two sentences that we came up were, the bank lent me some money and I borrowed some money from the bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that means the same.
It means exactly the same thing, right? It's exactly the same thing. But in one sentence, I've decided that I'm going to focus on myself and the fact that I received the money, right? Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, on the other sentence, I focused on the fact on the bank. Specifically on the bank, on the giver and what that giver is doing. Okay, so the bank lent me money. But the two sentences actually mean exactly the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we came up with another one, which is a more daily experience when you need to ask somebody to lend you something. So maybe you haven't got a pen and you need to ask somebody, maybe a stranger even in a bank, and you need a pen to write something. And you say, excuse me, and you've got two ways to say it. And they say, can you lend me your pen?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, can you lend me your pen? Because obviously that person is doing the giving, the lending to you. Or you could say, excuse me, could I borrow your pen for a second, please?
Yeah.
So then your focus is on, I'm doing the borrowing, so I'm receiving. And they both mean the same thing, and you can choose which one you prefer or you remember or...
Yes.
So native speakers use both, and we change. 1 minute you may say, oh, could you lend me something? Or, excuse me, can I borrow your something?
Yeah.
And the important thing, as you say, is to change the subject. So it's,
you
lend me and I borrow from you.
Exactly. Very well explained there, Alistair, really well explained. And so really for our listeners, it's kind of, you almost have to make a decision about who you're going to focus on in terms of a subject, right? And then apply whether lend or borrow is going to be the correct one, right? So if you're talking about yourself, can I borrow? Okay, so you're focusing on yourself and you are borrowing something, right? In that particular situation, okay? So it can be confusing because you've got those two options. And we also came up with a sentence that we often hear from our clients, right? So it would be a sentence something like, can you borrow me your pen, right?
Yeah, which is
incorrect.
Yeah,
it's incorrect, yeah.
Yeah, because you are doing the borrowing, not the other person.
Exactly.
Another person cannot borrow you something.
Exactly.
They're lending something to you and you are borrowing something from them. So it could be easy to confuse, to use that word in the wrong way.
Exactly. Exactly right. And so you could change that to say, can you lend me your pen? Perfect, right? Mm. Can you lend me your pen? Which is,
mistake you could make, I'm not sure I've heard it that often, but you could say, can I lend your pen?
Yes.
Which is wrong, because of course, can I lend your pen would be, can I lend your pen to another person, a third party?
Sure.
The person will say, no, you can't. I'll lend it to you, but I'm not giving it to you so you can lend it to somebody else I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
So that wouldn't make sense either, no? So it'd be, can you lend me, not can I lend.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Good. Yes. And to make this a little bit clearer or a little bit maybe more interesting as well, we came up with a small anecdote related to this. And this was actually connected to my Spanish nephew, who a few years ago went to the UK to learn English. And he arrived in the UK, but he needed to get around. He didn't have much money. And so because he wanted to get from one place to another quite efficiently, he actually asked me if he could borrow my bike. Okay, so he mm-hmm. asked me if he could borrow my bike. And after some reflection, I decided to lend him my bike. But at the back of my head, I thought, well, you know, I'm not sure if I'll ever see that bike again. And not because of my nephew or anything.
You trust your nephew.
I do trust my nephew, absolutely. But what I wasn't so sure about was the fact that in these university towns, it's quite often the case that these bikes get stolen. And so I was more than happy to lend my bike to him, but I thought, I'm not sure whether I'll actually ever get that bike.
You're
back.
A little bit worried about. So is Bournemouth notorious for its bike thieves?
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether it's particularly Bournemouth, but I think it's quite connected to university towns because when I was in Nottingham, I also had a bike stolen. That was a university, you know, it was so. You know, I don't know whether it's particularly. Yes, who knows?
Yeah, I suppose lots of students use bikes to get around. And so, yeah, any university town with lots of students will have a lot of bikes. And there's always people who are interested in stealing them, no?
Yeah, in fact, I think what happens is that they actually get stolen to be resold, you see.
Yeah, I imagine people, either somebody using it or more likely is it's a business. People resell them and make money, no?
Yeah.
So they are thieves, no? Ladrones. A thief is a ladrón. So you can have a bike thief.
Exactly.
And it seems, certain cities, as you say, usually university towns, seem to suffer this problem quite a lot.
Absolutely.
Luckily, I've never had a bike stolen, but...
Yeah, so in the end, of course, my bike was stolen. That is inevitably what happened. And so, in the end. But if you're listening, Nacho, don't worry. I forgive you. There's no problem. You know, he is forgiven. So there you go. No, it wasn't his fault. No, not at all. So there you go. Yeah, a little bit about borrow and lend. And so, at the same time, what we want to do now is just to give a little bit of feedback, right, Alistair, about some of the some comments from our listeners related to previous episodes, right?
Yeah, we had a previous episode not long ago. We were talking about translations of ganar in English, that you have four verbs, which was win, beat, earn and gain.
Gain, that's right.
And we also said gain is not only, it's an increase, and it can be increase in monetary value, the value of something like your house or shares. But we also said you can gain other things, like gain confidence, self-confidence, or gain experience. And one of our listeners, Juan, he suggested another one, which he says he hears quite a lot in business, in his office, is to gain momentum. It's a good
one. Yeah, that's a great
momentum.
One.
You also hear it in sport a lot, talking about teams gaining momentum.
Yeah.
An increase in the amount of momentum.
Yes. Well,
that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Well done, Juan. That's a great addition to that particular, fantastic. Yeah,
and someone else, unfortunately, I don't have the name, suggested, well, they asked, it was more a question saying, can you say earn? We talked about gaining respect, so an increase in the amount of respect that you have from other people around you, your colleagues at work, for example. But this person said, can you say earn respect? Yes, you can. So we didn't mention that one. So it is, we said earn was only for money you earn in your job, so your salary. But in fact, yes, you can gain people's respect. Now, you couldn't say gain confidence or experience. Sorry, you couldn't say earn confidence or experience, because those things are, confidence is something internal to yourself. It's your own feelings and sensation. So it's not the opinion of another person, like respect. Mm-hmm. And experience is just a fact. It's objective. So if you work 2 years in a company, you've gained 2 years experience working. So it's not dependent on other people, but respect is something you have to demonstrate through your actions, being a good worker, working hard, being good at your job. that you can earn the respect of your colleagues. Right. And you've also gained the respect. So you can use both, gain and earn with respect.
Yeah.
So that was a very good suggestion to earn people's respect.
Absolutely.
And then you you deserve it, lo mereces, no? Because you've worked hard to earn that respect from your colleagues by doing doing your job well, no?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly right. Exactly right. So, yeah, thank you very much to our listeners for those particular comments. Super useful. And if you do have any further comments, do write in to us and let us know, because it really, really, really helps us think about new content, new ways to help all of you. It can really give us inspiration as well sometimes. So keep those messages coming and we will keep reading them with a lot of interest. So just to finish off today, we'll just go over a little bit what we have covered, which is clearly the whole idea of lend and borrow, the difficulty sort of using those properly, partly because in Spanish you mainly have that one verb, which is, we talked about the different types of scenarios why you might use this particular word, mostly related to maybe loans or mortgages. Those are the scenarios that you might use those particular words specifically, but also when you are maybe borrowing a book from a library or those types of
asking different someone contexts. If you can borrow something like their pen, for example.
That's right exactly. Borrowing a pen or lending a pen to somebody, right? And just to go over the specific difficulties, it is often you can actually say the same sentence with two different ways, right? Sometimes you can say the sentence with lend, sometimes you can say the sentence with borrow. It depends on the subject of that particular sentence. So you have to think carefully about what the subject of the sentence is and then apply the right verb accordingly, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's basically the main focus of this particular episode. I hope it made it as clear as possible. It can be a bit confusing. And so if you do have any questions, do let us know and we can make any sort of, you know, if there's anything that you're not quite sure about, we can clarify that in a future episode. Absolutely. So no problem at all there.
Yeah. But it's always good to come back to things like we did today with the gain momentum. No, if people write in with more email us with suggestions or questions, and then we can deal with them in future episodes.
Yeah. And to be honest, the way to get this as clear in your mind as possible is to actually create those different sentences and actually put yourself into that situation and kind of really, even they could potentially write out a few sentences, a few example sentences, so that you kind of understand the difference between the two verbs and when they would be used and that relationship between the verb and the subject, right?
Yeah. And think of your anecdote, which we're always saying stories can help you to remember things.
Yeah.
So if you remember that you lent your bike to your nephew in Bournemouth and he borrowed your bike.
Yes. So that's right.
Those two verbs are used in the different ways, but obviously the meaning is the same.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly.
But unfortunately, it was stolen.
Unfortunately, in the end, it was stolen. But as I said, I forgive Nacho, no problem at all. Good. Okay, so that's it for this week. Thank you very much, Alistair. Great to be here with you, as usual.
Yeah, a pleasure as always.
Fantastic. Great. So I guess we'll see you again next week. All right?
Cheers. Bye.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye.